Hey there, listeners. Welcome back. I know it's been a while. I've been preparing lots of episodes for you, actually. They've been taking a little bit longer than expected. I've also been doing lots of new things, musically, that is. Been studying and playing some ragtime and trying to play some jazz as well. Emphasis on trying. I did write my own ragtime piece, and I had this idea for a recital to play a few modern rags, including my own, and not tell people which was which, and get people's reactions, see what their favorite was. Part of this comes from this desire I have to get people to listen more carefully, which I think they often do when you challenge them a little bit. And part of it is obviously my secret hope that my piece will win this little competition. So, as often happens, time has been sneaking up on me, and this recital, which is in 2 to 3 days now, depending on when you're listening to this. By the way, Thursday, April 30th at Levine Music, 2801 Upton Street, Northwest. For anyone in the DC area, I encourage you to come. In preparation then, I'm running the experiment in digital form, this extremely poorly controlled, heavily biased one, and sacrificing precious practice time to do it for you, dear listener. I'm Sam Post, this is The Music Post, and I hope you enjoy. What you'll hear today, then, is 4 rags by living composers, and I'll tell you about the ragtime tradition, the music of Scott Joplin, much of which you're probably familiar with already, and what makes this tradition. These pieces, which draw from this tradition, though, are very different from the rags that you're familiar with, and I think much more interesting, varied, and just really great. So, those 4 composers, Paul Schoenfield, William Bolcom, myself, and Gabriella Montero, who devoted listeners of this podcast will already be very familiar with too. In fact, one of these pieces I've already played on an earlier episode, so if you've been listening really carefully, you'll probably notice that. So try to put that aside for now as you pretend that you're listening blindly. Now, since a couple of those other names probably might not mean anything to you, maybe you know the music of Bolcom and Schoenfield, maybe you don't, let me tell you some other fun facts about these different rags so you can listen to them on another level, not just trying to guess which one was written by which composer. One of them is the composer's self-proclaimed favorite of all of his or her compositions. And that comes, by the way, not from a public quote of the composer's, but from something that he told a reliable anonymous source, a friend of mine. So I'm pretty sure it's true, but please don't quote me on it. One of them was originally improvised and then transcribed, that is, written out by me. And one of them has this wonderful title, Graceful Ghost, you can certainly listen for which one is in this gracefully ghostly character. Now, despite the fact that this recital is 3 days away, I was unable to really get a good clean take of one of these 4 rags. Luckily, I have a friend who has a wonderful version. His name is Edward Neiman, and he is an absolutely fantastic pianist. I recommend you check out all of his videos, recitals, etc. I'll post a link to his website and his YouTube channel, from which I take, with his permission, one of these rags. Okay, so what is a rag anyway? What makes it different from just regular old classical style, which, by the way, isn't really a thing that obviously encompasses a huge range of music, and what separates it from the jazz tradition? Ragtime kind of sits in between these two, like I said, massive traditions in their own right. But there was this traditional ragtime era around around 1900, when ragtime was born. And basically the distinguishing characteristics of a traditional ragtime piece are this march rhythm in the left hand, alternating bass note and chord, with a syncopated rhythm in the right hand. And it's actually a specific type of syncopation. For instance, let me play you kind of this modified version of a rag that you probably know very well, with one type of syncopation, but definitely not the one that you know well. So. So that would be the entertainer with an eighth note syncopation, but what distinguishes ragtime is 16th note syncopations, where the emphasized notes in the right hand come immediately before or immediately after a strong beat, this way. So they're either anticipating or just following. So this rhythmic style really distinguishes ragtime from most classical genres, and the jazz tradition that followed ragtime really borrowed heavily from that rhythmic style. But aside from that characteristic rhythm, ragtime is much more heavily influenced and much more similar to the classical tradition in terms of harmonic function, harmonic structure. Without going too much into detail on that point, the whole idea is basically in ragtime, as in traditional classical style, this kind of chord progression still dominates. And really permeates the entirety of the piece. It's really the predominating harmonic thing that's going on. Whereas in jazz that followed, that kind of thing becomes much less important gradually. And now one more thing I want to mention before we listen is the idea of a swing rhythm, which, if you don't know, apart from or separate from syncopated rhythm, is a general feeling in the quick moving notes. So whereas a straight rhythm would be like this, the same scale in a swing rhythm would sound like this. And now when people play Scott Joplin, probably the most famous ragtime composer, when people play his music today, they generally don't swing the 16th notes this way. And we generally think of swing as coming after the ragtime era in what is often called, appropriately, the swing era, starting around when World War I ended. So that's why you're probably used to hearing the entertainer this way. But it turns out that Scott Joplin actually did swing his own rags, at least some of the time. So there are these, not really recordings of his playing because it was so long ago, but these things called piano roll, which basically can copy more or less how someone plays and then play them back later. So the piano rolls that exist of Scott Joplin's playing tell kind of a different story, where sometimes he uses a swing rhythm and sometimes he doesn't. So with a swing rhythm, it sound like, well, I don't need to tell you how it would sound like. Let me play you an actual piano roll of Scott Joplin's. Part of the issue here is that when one traditionally writes down a piece like that, even if one wanted the rhythm to be swung, you wouldn't write an exact notation of the swung notes. You just write them as regular 16th notes. So someone who doesn't know about swing would just assume that they're regular 16th notes and play them straight through. And there's one rag that you're going to hear today that I think is really susceptible to this very problem. A lot of people seem to play it without swing, and I have no idea how the composer really meant it to be played, in fact. But for me, it doesn't really matter because it just sounds so much better with a swing rhythm. Let me just play you the very beginning both ways. So with a swing. Thank you. without swing. So for me, that second way, after hearing it with swing, sounds so square and lame, whereas the swinging way is much smoother and more stylish. So that's how you're going to hear it later. You'll hear at least one rag then with a swing rhythm. One of them you'll hear without, and then a couple that kind of go back and forth a little bit. Let me interrupt myself right there. I was all ready to go with this podcast episode. I was going to say that these four rags you're going to hear, obviously, they're not by Scott Joplin. They're not in that old time tradition. And I was going to say the Joplin rags themselves, they set forth this tradition, but they're a little boring. And I went back and I was listening to the Scott Joplin piano roll recordings, and I was thinking, man, these aren't boring. These are kind of awesome. So I really committed this grave sin that I warn other people against over and over when it comes to the music of Bach and Mozart, and that is equating these boring performances with boring music, you know, assuming that the music is boring because the performance doesn't ignite our imaginations. And so the point is, I think Scott Joplin's music is pretty cool in the end. It just takes a little bit extra, you know, when you hear, I'll play a little bit more of the Joplin roll recording of The Entertainer at the end, and you'll notice he adds all these things which are clearly improvised on the spot, not written out in the published version, and he's just having a blast at the piano, and that's really the spirit of this music, and it's definitely not the spirit that you get when you hear recordings of The Entertainer like this one. Not that fun. Okay, that was just a brief aside. The four rags you are going to hear are totally awesome. You can listen to how they're different from these Joplin rags that you're probably familiar with. And back to our main show. Here we go then. Four rags. May the best one win. Come back next time to find out which was which. Contestant number one. Contestant number two. Contestant number three. Contestant number four.
Thank you.
Carefully. I hope you know your votes, and I hope you'll let me know. SamuelJPost@gmail.com, TheMusicPostPodcast@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on the website, www.samueljpost.com/podcast, on my Facebook, facebook.com/sampostpiano, tweet at me at SamuelJPost. There's just so many options here. And I hope you'll come to my recital or listen in next time to find out what was what. Thanks for listening. Until next time on the Music Post.